plus some. Not this time, though. We are live. Yes, Ring Kings Podcast is back. We are still here. All right. We're still going strong. All right. I know, but we haven't been going strong, but we're still here. Okay. Told you guys we'll be back for big events. And I don't know what could be bigger than what just happened last night. My word. First of all, my brother Mikey, my brother B, how y'all doing?
Good, man.
Better than Devin Haney today.
Yeah.
Better than Devin Haney. Oh, yes. Our guy Omar Tillman, he been waiting. He said, yes, sir, I've been waiting on this. Yes, indeed. Yes. Coach Evans is in the house. Says, yo, yo, what's up, Coach?
What's up, Coach?
What up, Coach?
Big Reg is in the house, too. Says, what's good, family? What's good with you? We haven't been here a while, so I forget that, you know, people are still subscribed and they, you know, they click the video when we go live. Appreciate y'all coming through. Is that our guy, Little Mikey? Hey. all right. But yes, all right. You guys by now know what happened. Devin Haney took his first loss to Ryan Garcia in shocking form. Okay, that's one of those fights that shocked me. Okay, I thought Devin Haney would completely outclass him. Now, B, you and I talked about this going into the fight. You thought Ryan Garcia had a small chance if he caught him early with a left hook. That happened, right? That happened, and you know Ryan Garcia didn't capitalize on it. Devin Haney took control of the fight for the next 3 or 4 rounds, and it looked like it was going to be business as usual. But I mean, we'll talk about what exactly went wrong, but I feel like he got a little too comfortable and Ryan Garcia caught him with a left hook right on the temple and it was all downhill from there. He survived. He didn't get KO'd technically, but he made it to the 12th round, lost a majority decision. We'll have to talk about that as well. But let's get your guys' thoughts on what happened.
Yeah, I think he survived with the help of the referee. I think that, you know, the ref was in a tough position, but I mean, Devin was just, he was diving into Ryan's waist, you know, holding himself up for the majority of the round where he got hurt. I think it was round 7, and then again in 10, then again in 11. But yeah, no, what happened is what we've kind of talked about with Devin Haney a lot on this show. Is that he doesn't have power to keep guys off of him, and he doesn't have a great chin. Yeah. And this time it caught up with him. You know, up until this point, he hasn't really fought guys with great power. You know, Prograis is past it. He looked like, you know, Lomachenko. I mean, he can't hurt anybody. But Ryan Garcia has, that's the one thing that he has. Well, he has the power and he has the speed in his hands. And that was it for Devin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, man. It was it was weird. It was one of those things where what happened early on in the fight, I feel like changed Devin's game plan. And it probably shouldn't. It kind of came out of nowhere. Like when he caught him early in the first round, obviously, it stunned him. It wobbled him. And, you know, in a fighter's mind, when you get caught that early, it's like, oh, man, this dude, he has power that can hurt me. So I got to watch out for that. So, you know, even with that happening, it felt like Devin was settling in the next 3-4 rounds. It looked like he was settling in and he was going to take control of the fight. Staying behind his jab, he had you could see Ryan was looking for that left hook often, and it seemed like Devin had got a good handle on it at first. After the initial one, he was slipping it, he was ducking underneath of it. But I don't know, man. I think I don't know. It was a weird fight, but I agree with what you said, B. Like we haven't really seen him in the ring with a power puncher or someone that has a power that can hurt you. And we've seen his chin, get tested before, and he didn't fall. He's had some moments where his chin was checked a little bit, and Ryan was just strong enough and powerful enough to hurt him often in the fight.
Yeah, I think it was a weird fight. They both fought kind of stupid, I thought. Yeah. You know, Ryan Garcia kept on turning his back, like bending over, turning his back, and he was leaving himself open to body shots. He was leaving himself open to that left hook that he actually got hurt with or stunned with once. Got knocked back a few steps. Devin, you know, he was trying to avoid the left hook a lot, but he was leaving himself open for the right hand all night. And it just it didn't look like the same Devin Haney who went out there and kind of blanked Kambosos and, you know, and Prograis and just put on these boxing clinics. He went in there, and I think Ryan got into his head a little bit during the promotion. And he kind of pumped himself up, and he thought, hey, I can go and stand toe-to-toe with him. I'm a better fighter than him, a better boxer than him. But he just, you know, his chin can't take it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, you know, when they said they were fighting with 8-ounce gloves, I was like, okay, Devin Haney looking to make a statement here, right? Absolutely. I think that from the minute he took that fight, the goal was, whether Ryan Garcia made all those antics or not, I think he was still going to try to fight this way because he wanted to show everybody this is a guy that Tank beat in 7 rounds. I can beat him in 6. You know what I'm saying? I think he wanted to do something like that. And, you know, he's highly confident in the skills. He looked at Ryan Garcia, said Ryan Garcia got one shot. And, you know, he has a soft body. You know, we can exploit that. That's what I thought he was going to do. I mean, the work he did against Lomachenko, who I think is a better boxer than Ryan Garcia. I mean, he hit him a lot in the body, right? And I think Ryan Garcia just, you know, I thought he was going to be more open for those shots, and I expected Devin Haney to you know, go to work on that. That was going to be his thing, but he doesn't have knockout power. We all know he doesn't have knockout power. He wasn't going to knock him out faster than Tank did, but I thought he could have scored the knockout had he stuck to his game plan and just dragged it out a little further into the fight, because Ryan Garcia wasn't really in shape. I mean, if he was, he would have put Devin away. But, you know, he went on these flurries, he knocked Devin down, and he just really couldn't capitalize when he knocked him down because he was just tired, you know. And all he was really overselling that left hook. He kept on trying to throw that left hook to get him out of there. And I thought, man, like, this is obvious, right? Like, he's just trying to bait you for that left hook. He wasn't even throwing a jab, right? And, man, he had such a sloppy fight. For Devin to lose this, he's going to look back on this and be like, oh, man, I blew this one.
And Jay has a question here. What's up, Jay? Do y'all believe the debate that Tank would lose to 145-pound Garcia and that he faced a dehydrated 136-ish version? Nah. I don't buy it at all because and you know, for similar reasons to why I thought Devin Haney would walk away with this fight fairly easily, Tank's a better boxer than Ryan Garcia. And, you know, the difference in that one, in that fight would be that Tank has knockout power and you can't really hurt Tank. You know, we've never seen Tank get hurt. So no, I don't think that Ryan, especially the way he's been fighting recently, would have anything for Tank.
Yeah, I've been seeing that a lot on social media. I think with Ryan, he had a rehydration clause, but he could rehydrate. It was 10 pounds, right? Yeah, the clause just was to keep him from ballooning to what these two dudes walked into the ring in, like, last night, which at welterweight size. Or even, you know what I mean, 160, 165. Like, yeah, above that. Like, so, like
middleweight
guys. So, you know, that with these clauses, you know, that's why these clauses come about. But best believe, if they rematch, Haney is going to want a rehydration clause, and he is going to want Ryan to make weight. Like, there's not going to be any of that, oh, yeah, we're going to still fight. So if it happens, you'll see that. Because it's just what it is.
Unfortunately for Devin, I mean, it wasn't really the case before this fight either, but especially having lost the way he lost, he ain't really got room to make any kind of demands.
That's what we'll keep
doing. You're gonna take that fight however Ryan wants to give it to you, or he gonna go fight somebody else.
Well, especially since Ryan Garcia never cared about belts. He said that. He said belts don't matter in today's boxing. And he's kind of right. Yeah. But you know, he said he's not fighting at 140 anymore. He cannot make that weight. He's going to move. He's willing to fight Tank at a catchweight at 145. Well, he didn't even say that. That's what Oscar said. He's willing to fight him at 145. Tank ain't going to go up that far. All right. And yes, people will say, well, yes, it was hard for Ryan Garcia to make that weight, and he was weight drained. He wasn't weight drained, man. Like, that's where he fights at. You fight at 140. That's what you should be fighting at. You don't make weight at 140 and then try to balloon up to a super middleweight. You know what I'm saying? Like, so you can fight on a smaller guy. That's what everybody wants to do. Oh, this guy hits hard. Let me put on 20, 25 more pounds so I can absorb that, maybe lean on him. No. You're going to fight closer to your weight class, right? The spirit of that rule, they're abusing. Okay, you make weight, right? Maybe you come in on fight night a few pounds heavier, it's fine, as long as you make weight. But to go that high up, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous for the fighters, which is why I do believe it affected us somewhat. I'm not going to make that as an excuse, especially for Devin Haney, because Devin Haney is one of those people that puts on 20, 25 pounds, you know, after he finishes his weigh-in. But I do believe him having to drain himself down to 140 and then try to get that, you know, rehydrate and put that weight back on, took something out of him. And I believe Ryan Garcia saw that and it's like, nah, I'm not going to go any further down. Like, if I drain myself more, I will be drained, and I'm not going to. I don't care about the belts, right? I know he's not going to not fight me,
mm-hmm.
right? I might lose a little money. I don't care, but I'm going to go in a fight healthier. And I do believe it took a little bit out of Devin Haney because he had nothing behind those shots. There was a point in the fight where Ryan Garcia turning his back to him and he's just unloading on his side, just unloading shots. And it did nothing. It did nothing. And I'm like, I know we talk about Devin Haney not having any power, but I think if Devin Haney on a normal night, you know, I think those shots would have had more effect on Ryan Garcia. But last night,
I don't know that they would, man, because like Ryan Garcia is a big guy just like him. You know, and like you said, Devin's been kind of ballooning up a little bit and fighting smaller guys and everything. He just doesn't have the ability to hurt guys his size.
Ryan's big, but he's not durable.
Yeah, but Devin's weak. So
relative
to other fighters is what I mean. I mean, he's not weak, obviously, but you know, and especially in that, in the context of what we're talking about, like Ryan was holding him, he was holding his other arm. So it's not like he was really like kind of loading up those punches. Like he was hitting him, but it wasn't like proper form hitting him. Like he was kind of leaning over. He had his arm was being held and he was just punching him as hard as he could to do something while he was being held. So, I mean, if he was just kind of teeing off on his body like that during the regular course of the fight, that would have been different. But, you know, in the clinch, you know, nobody's really throwing heavy shots like that in the clinch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and they call Devin Pillow Hands, right? And he's had that nickname coming up through the ranks. And you know, some people thought that, you know, the more weight, you know, the higher he moved up in class, you know, he'd add more power behind it. And you know, we tend to believe that it's the opposite, man, because you're moving up in weight, and you know, as we know, the further you go up, you know, you got these guys that has that punching power, and you know, bigger guys, just as big if not bigger. And you have to have an equalizer, and in most cases, that equalizer is a little bit of power to back these guys up. You know, we spoke about it on this show when he announced he was moving up. And it was just one of those things like, look, man, we just don't know if he has the power to keep these guys at bay a little bit. You know, and it happens to the best of them. Even, you know, at 135, Teofimo, you know, he showed a lot of power at 135. But when he moved up to 140 for a second, you know, he struggled a little bit. And it was because that power didn't quite translate as quick as he may have wanted it to, or the way he wanted it to, yeah, in that division. So it's going to be a tough, you know, the journey, a tough decision for Devin going forward. I mean, I think he's still a really good fighter, but he has to go back to, you know, beating people up and outboxing. That's just going to have to be his game. And that's what I thought he was going to do last night. He was just going to outbox Ryan, right? Outsmart him, outbox him, you know, and he didn't quite do that. Like I said, it for a couple of rounds, maybe, you know, I guess it was two, three, four, and five maybe, looked like he was settling in, and that's what it was about to get very, very ugly, because Ryan wasn't throwing anything. He wasn't throwing a jab. He was just looking for that hook. Yeah. And you know, it looked like Haney was kind of settling in, but that's what made the thing so weird. But I think, as you know, it's easy for us to say because we're not in there feeling that, but you feel someone's power, and then you know you throwing everything you got, and it ain't really having an effect on them. It can do some things to you mentally, and it just looked like, as the fight went on, Devin just got, you know, mentally beat, physically beat, and it just wasn't a good night for him.
No, go ahead, B.
No, yeah, I was going to say, and you and I talked about this, I think that Devin, and I think Bill is partially to blame for this, but he's been trying, like, desperately to prove that he has that power, and that he can go toe to toe with guys. And like you said, Mike, you know, not everybody has it. He's a tremendously skilled boxer. And if you don't have, you know, that knockout power, then just outbox guys. And he can do that all day long. But he's just got to get into his head that, hey, you know what? Every time I go in the ring, it's going to be 12 rounds, you know, because I'm not getting these guys out of there. Like, you know, Floyd, when he was lighter, he was knocking guys out left and right.
Pretty boy Floyd, yes.
Yeah, he moved up to 147, you know, eventually 154, and he couldn't do it. And, you know, obviously, you know, he had issues with his hands, and that was part of it. But, yeah, you know, once he got to those weights, he just started outboxing guys. And it was a 12-round decision every time, and he didn't put himself in harm's way.
And he dominated the fighters, and nobody ever looked at him as, oh, he got pillow hands. They're just like, you know. I mean, you know, people used to always, you know, like the detractors would say, yeah, you know, he runs a lot and he dances around a lot or whatever, but he always dominated the fights, right? They go into those fights and they thinking, oh, well, he's running and, you know, I can handle him, and they get enough fights, but I just couldn't hit him, but he was hitting me a lot, mm-hmm, you know? So, like, there's different kinds of ways to win. And I want to bring this up from Omar Tillman. Shout out to you, man. Salute. He says, some people don't like Bill.
That's the wrong one.
Oh, I'm sorry. He says, I wonder what's next for Haney, because I don't know how much longer he can stay at 140, and he doesn't have the power for 147 plus. But this kind of goes to what B says. You don't need the power. You don't need the knockout power, right? That's never been his game. He has a skill for sure. The mm-hmm only person that we say you may not want to go up there for is Boots, right? Boots Ennis. Everybody else, Devin Haney can compete with those guys. Okay, well, they
yeah, he's just got harder yet, but yeah, he's got to stay away from their power. But he can absolutely outbox most of those guys at that weight. But yeah, and I'm telling this is, some people don't like Bill, but I'll never be mad at a father thinking his son is the best. That part's fine. It's just the rest of what Bill does that's not great.
Yeah, you have to know when you are doing a disservice to your son. Right, and I think overall what he's done has been great for Devin Haney, but he writes a lot of checks that Devin has to cash, right?
Yeah, I don't think what he's done has been great, honestly. Like, I think, you know, he gets a lot of credit for going around promoting him, and he's on a lot of shows and everything. But at the end of the day, people don't watch his son fight, and I think that's because You know, you don't ever really get a chance to kind of connect with Devin because Devin's not the one doing the talking. And why am I interested in Devin Haney when the only one who I ever hear opening his mouth is Bill?
Well, the promotion side, not as much. But overall, managing his career, I think he's done a very good job managing his career, right? He does too much talking. I don't like. And I get it, right? He kind of wants to protect his son. But at some point, you know, your son's a man now. He has to have his own voice. You got to let him go out there and be himself so people can see who he is. Because that's the disconnect, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Bill Haney does a lot of talking. He's entertaining. But he doesn't do the fighting. Devin does the fighting. And people don't know who Devin Haney is. And Devin Haney's a nice dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's a good guy. And just let him be that guy. He doesn't have to be that trash talker, that Money Mayweather type of fighter. Just let him be himself.
Yeah.
But in terms of managing him, in terms of coaching him, I think he's done a very good job. Like, after this fight, I know people will say, hey, it's time for him to step to the side. And they might be right about that. Maybe, you know, he's gone as far as he can with his father. That happens sometimes, you know. So I don't know. But in terms of going up to 147, you know, he absolutely needs to do that. I mean, like I said, like both of them. It's too hard for them to make 140. He should go up there. And what's next is, I know, you know, there's some question about whether or not Ryan Garcia will take a rematch. He needs to pursue a rematch. He has to get that back. That's the next fight. I wouldn't be looking at anything else. I'd be looking to get that win back because I think he can beat Ryan Garcia if they fought again. That, I mean, it was just an off night for him. Ryan Garcia did not look great, particularly. You know, he just caught him. But do those fix, you know, clean those things up. Get a win. Doesn't matter if it's a decision. You know, get a revenge because every great fighter has nights like this. You know, sometimes they can weather the storm and come out with a win, but sometimes they take an L, and you know it's fine. You know, but beat Ryan Garcia and go on with your career, and don't ever mention Tank's name again.
That's really the biggest part.
Right.
If I'm Ryan Garcia, I'm not giving him that rematch. and you know, Ryan Garcia is, he plays the clown, right? And he's got all his antics and everything, and he's on social media. He's got a huge following. I'm gonna be trolling Devin Haney for the rest of his career off of that night, and I'm never giving him a rematch. Because for what? If I were him, I know that, you know, they said he's not going back to 140, but I'd like to see him go after Teofimo. I think that'd be a huge fight for him. Mm-hmm. But obviously, you know, if he's not fighting at 140, then it's a different path he's going on.
Yeah, I mean, he's already flip-flopped 20 times. You know, he said in the ring he would run it back, and then soon thereafter he was like, nah. So it doesn't look good that it's going to happen. But, I mean, Bill and his camp, they need to sell everything they can to try to make that happen. Maybe, hey, look, man, this will be our first fight at 147. Whatever you got to do. But they got to try to make that happen because it was lopsided. Like, he got beat. He got beat badly, you know, and we keep pointing out how weird it was because Ryan didn't look great. You know, it wasn't a master class of any sorts. It was, you know, he caught him and he caught him a couple times and he put him down but you know, on Devin's side, it wasn't like you lost a close fight. Like, man, you got beat up, you know, and yeah. You want to avenge that. So, because to your point, B, it's the person like Ryan Garcia, he's going to hang this over his head for years to come.
Yeah, Devin needs that rematch. I want to address Omar Tillman here. He says, at 140 or 147, who could Haney fight to make his name credible as a potential great again? Or should he just stay active and fight good, not great guys? Listen, Devin's already – he's a great fighter already. Yes. He's 25 years old. He was already the undisputed champion at 135. He beat, you know, arguably the biggest name there in Lomachenko. He went up. He got a belt in another division already. Like I said, this kind of happens, and this is sort of the Anthony Joshua thing. You know, we talked about it. Anthony Joshua looked great, you know, and he was a top guy at heavyweight, and then he came over to the U.S., fought Andy Ruiz, and had this type of loss, you know, even worse because Joshua kind of quit in that fight. And then, you know, he came back and he beat Andy Ruiz, and now nobody really thinks about that anymore.
Right.
You know, everybody's celebrating him for what he did to Francis Ngannou, you know? Haney can get back on track easily. But yeah, step one, ideally, is getting Garcia to agree to get back in the ring. But even if he doesn't get that rematch, you know, as we move away from this fight, nobody's really going to care outside of just kind of trolling and making little jokes. But, you know, two guys, essentially, you know, two or three guys retire undefeated. Everybody gets beat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They don't make jokes, but like they say, when you fight top fighters, somebody has to lose. Right. Ryan Garcia is a good fighter. I mean, now over here, like we've made a lot of jokes about Ryan Garcia. You know, we thought he was the weakest out of all like the top young boxers. But I mean, look, man, he showed a lot of heart. He's the first one to really step up and say, look, let's just make this tank deal happen. I want to fight him now. And he believed in himself, didn't go his way. And I think that woke him up a little bit. I mean, not all the way because he's still immature. He still showed up out of shape. But he recognized, I need to get a little bit more serious with my training. That's why he sought out Derrick James, who was a no-nonsense guy. You know, speaking of Derrick James, man, like, I know his blood pressure was through the roof during this this whole thing. You know, but yeah, I mean, he grew from that fight and he said, all right, bring me Devin Haney. I did not think he was going to fight another like serious fighter after he fought Tank, but here we are and he got the win and he says, bring on Boots. I don't see that going his way, but I can see him actually doing the fight now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think that he'll beat Jaron Ennis, but I didn't think he was going to beat Devin Haney either. And I think that the way he acts publicly, you know, and he kind of acts immature and all that, you know, it makes you forget that he is a very talented fighter.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, he gets a lot of credit for making those fights happen because, you know, as much as we love Tank isn't going out there seeking out a Devin Haney fight. Tank's not going out there necessarily seeking out Shakur Stevens. And I mean, he's fighting good fighters, but he's not making those top fights that everybody's looking for. Ryan Garcia is.
That's true. You know, Tank, Tank lets his team, you know, handle that. And they're trying to get the fights that they see as the biggest draws, and you can't argue against the formula that's been working. And also, I mean, who knows, man? Maybe in the next year or so, we'll be looking at it and saying, no, actually, Tank was fighting the top fighters, right? I mean,
yeah,
we put Ryan Garcia above a Haney right now, obviously. So, I mean, did he need to go out and fight Haney when he fought a better opponent, Ryan Garcia? No. Eastside Pitbull Cruz is a champion right now. You know, I think there's a lot of holes in his game. But who knows? You know, who knows after a few more fights who he fights, right? Like, if he goes out there and fights Teofimo and beats Teofimo. You know, like, you know, the guys that we thought were the top guys, if Eastside Cruz beats Teofimo or if Ryan Garcia goes out there and beats Teofimo, you know, it's like, oh, well, I guess Tank was fighting the better fighters this whole time. We just didn't know it.
No, I'm gonna just say we don't give him that. It's about the perception right now, because that's not the conversation that we have when we talk about Canelo. Nobody says, "Hey, what if Jaime Munguia, you know, puts on a great fight against him?" Everybody's just like, "Go fight Benavidez."
No, right? Well, no. If Jaime Munguia goes on to be a really good fighter, he gets credit for it. We've always done that with fighters.
Yeah, yeah, no, but I'm saying we're doing that preemptively right now with Gervonta. The reality is right now he's not fighting the top fighters. And that's just what it is. Later on, maybe it looks different, but right now, that's what it is. Because, I mean, even after this fight, I think I can say safely for everybody on the screen, nobody thinks Ryan Garcia is a top fighter still. After the performance last night. Right. No. So
I think everybody, it makes everybody think about who they think is a top fighter right now. Because 135, okay, I mean, we got to see. Tank just went back down to 135, right? Him and Shakur talking. You know,
I'm sorry to interrupt. We don't have it set up on this scene because we're doing it's a different thing. So I do apologize for that. But we did get a Cash App from Omar for $15 saying, great show. And thoughts on Tim Zhu and Fundora.
Oh, okay. Hey, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah, we're going to get the animations and everything set up over here. I appreciate that. But, if you know, this is how we do Super Chats. You can hit our Cash App, which is $LBHT show. That stands for Lunch Break Hot Take, if you don't know what that is. And you can hit the pin link that you see in the chat box. That'll take you to our Streamlabs page. You know, we don't have the animation set up, but we'll have that soon. But we'll read your comment on air. Appreciate you, Omar Tillman. The Fundora, yeah, we haven't streamed in a while. Yes, Fundora and Tim Zhu. Unfortunate for Tim Zhu. I think Tim Zhu will have won that fight fairly easily had he not got that cut. That cut was very unfortunate, man. Even more unfortunate is, like, they tried to stop the bleeding during the fight, and it just kept on, the blood kept on streaming right down into his eye. It wasn't like it was just kind of like going down his nose or around or anything. It was going straight into his eyes. And he fought through, and it seemed like after the fight was over, it stopped bleeding.
Which you only got so much blood, right?
Like as soon as they announced Fundora to win, they're like, "All right, stop."
and look, man, Fundora is just a tough. Like when I saw he was going to be the replacement, even though I think Tim Zhu could have beaten him, he's just an awkward, tough matchup for a lot of people just because of his size. So it was a tough matchup for Zhu. And then, like you said, unfortunately he got cut. But yeah, Fundora, you know, it wasn't an easy replacement. I know he can give, you know, he can give people problems. And we've talked about him on this show before too, as we spoke before about Ryan and Haney about how much they rehydrate. It's easier for somebody like Fundora to hide how much he rehydrates because he's such a lean guy. Right. So, and he's tall. So you don't know. I mean, he could be 180, 185. We don't know. I mean, it's just hard. It's harder to tell with him. So he's just a tough matchup for a lot of these guys.
Yeah. Let me get a couple of shout outs in the chat. Shout out to our guy Dre, Mr. Galloway.
What's up, Dre?
What up,
Dre?
Got Hendo from the Rogue Pod. Salute. Salute.
What's up, Hendo?
Yes, yes. Mr. J says, I still ask, in what Marvel universe where you get knocked out, we get knocked down four times, excessive clinching, and still have the same score as the other man? Yeah. So, all right, let's talk about that too, because that 112-112.
Well, is it because, obviously we got to mention that Ryan Garcia got a point taken away for punching, you know, while the ref was breaking him up.
Yeah.
Didn't give any warning, just went straight to a point deduction, which was a little bit odd, but it was a very late punch. The thing that didn't sit right with me is that Devin Haney was clinching excessively after that, and you didn't take a point away from him.
Yeah,
I did not like that at all. But you know, I mean, if you thought that Devin Haney won every moment of the fight where his legs weren't wobbling, then I guess it was a draw.
And I think what's his name that was kind of given the live scorecard had it that way too.
Yeah,
I thought he won a lot of rounds. I don't think he won every round. Right. You know, he didn't win the first round. There's a couple of rounds in there that I gave to Ryan. There's a couple that they're both kind of inactive, which is unfortunate. But no, I don't believe that. And I mean, I think that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, Jose and I were together watching the fight, and once he took that point from Ryan, I said, man, that point is going to be something that comes back one way or another. Mm-hmm. And I think it did on that scorecard. It goes back to just how weird this fight was, man. I just think Ryan had good moments, and his moments were electrifying. And he when he connected, he hurt him. Obviously, he put him down. What was it, 3 official times? But you know,
yeah, I thought he dropped him a couple more that they didn't count. But
yeah, I thought he did too. But you know, I think in between those moments, so you say that, all right, the first time he put him down was round 7. And then it was what after that? 10 and 11?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in some regards, some people would say Haney was winning, or he won a majority of the other rounds outside of that. So,
I mean, thinking back, you know, I mean, obviously he hurt him in round 1, right? So Ryan got round 1. I want to say it was round 3 that Ryan went on a flurry for about 15, 20 seconds and landed a bunch of punches. And Haney didn't do much the rest of the round, so I kind of gave that to Ryan as well. And then obviously 7, 10, and 11, you went all those rounds. Mm-hmm. And I think there was maybe one other time during the fight where Ryan got a little active and landed some punches without hurting Haney, you know, yeah. Where you could kind of give him the round. But yeah, it was just odd. It was odd because for me, you know, just watching it, outside of the moments when Ryan was, you know, able to land the left hook, neither one of them were that effective. You know, Haney had a couple moments here and there, but overall, I mean, he didn't do too much. And Ryan, you know, he would kind of just let himself fall back into just, I'm going to back up and lean away and turn my back to you, you know, and all that kind of stuff and just give time away. So, I mean, neither one of them went out there, I would say, looking to rack up the rounds.
Yeah. And then if you look at, so compare it to Spence and Crawford, right? Like, it was, Crawford completely dominated that night, right?
Yep.
It was just like, okay, this guy is far clearing away winning this fight. You look at last night, right? And I think, and I even said to Jose last night, like, Haney is looking like Spence to me. Like, once he got hurt, you know what I mean? And once he got touched up and he felt that power, it just shook the rest of the night. But the difference in the two is, it just wasn't that, like, last night wasn't that clean of a fight, if that makes any sense. It wasn't that dominating fashion. It was just, you know, moments that happened. So it's just, I don't think it should have been as a draw, but again, that point coming off and then, you know, everything that was at stake, I was just thinking like, okay, this is it's going to be one of those moments where we see, you know, maybe, I honestly thought that they were going to find a way to call it a draw, but yeah. That didn't happen, but you know, one card, obviously they saw it that way. But yeah, it just was one of those weird hard fights, I guess, to score outside of the moments that we saw.
Yeah, I mean, we've almost seen something like this before. I remember when Tank fought, what's the dude's name? Mario Barrios. And he had knocked him down 3 times. And I remember Mayweather going up to him and saying, hey, you're down on the cards. And he was like, what? He's like, look, I'm just telling you, you're down on the cards, man. Right? Because Barrios had a good fight. Like, you know, Barrios has had some tough matches. You know, he had a tough fight against Keith Thurman. He came up short. But he's a good fighter. And he had that length. And it was giving Tank some problems, and he gave up a lot of early rounds until those knockdowns. But you know, Mayweather told Tank, you have to do more. I know 3 knockdowns, it sounds crazy, but you don't want this to go to the scorecards the way you're fighting. And Tank put him away, right? Like, he stepped it up. And you know, I was kind of hoping Garcia, I mean, I was rooting for Haney in this fight, but like, I mean, you know, you're winning. I want to see you finish. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get somebody hurt like that, I want to see the guy can put him away. And too many times he's just standing there. Like, there was one time he knocked Haney down. Haney's clearly hurt. And when Haney gets back up, Ryan's the one backing up. Why? Why? You think he's going to charge at you? You know what I'm saying? If you go in there, if you go in there to finish him off, you think he's going to hit you with some counter that you, that's going to put you on? Well, actually, well
yes,
well,
he does. Think that.
Yeah, yeah.
courtesy of Gervonta Davis.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, yeah, it wasn't a great performance from either guy, but it was a very entertaining fight.
It was.
But you know, and this too, these scores is why I think that they need to adopt open scoring.
Yep.
Because too many times in boxing, you get to the end and the judges seem like they watched a completely different fight than everyone else.
Yeah. They, you know, it's like they go into it only looking for certain things and they don't really look at the whole fight. I know judges do that, but I mean,
yeah, you know, they have their criteria that they judge by and that's fine. But you know, I think it would benefit everyone if you heard that going through the fight. And fighters say, hey, you know what, I think I'm... Because Jermaine Ortiz, not too long ago, when he fought, I think it was Teofimo, right?
Yes.
You know, he wasn't doing a whole lot. He wasn't throwing a whole lot of punches. But for me, he was controlling the fight, right? And Teofimo wasn't landing anything. And I'm watching that fight, and I'm saying, man, he's winning pretty much all of these rounds.
Yeah.
And you get to the end of the fight, and it's like, no, Teofimo walked forward, so he wins.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas if you hear, you know, you're in round three or four and Ortiz hears, okay, I'm losing these rounds, I need to be a little bit more active.
Right. Right. All right. So, I mean, we didn't really talk about the rest of the card. There wasn't much to talk about. It wasn't a great card.
I hope Bektimir's eyes okay.
Yes.
And yeah. And DeBondo. Was it DeBondo? I think. The guy he fought, but I believe so. But both of them got nasty cuts.
Yeah, they clash heads like two or three times.
Yeah, if not more.
Yeah.
But Bektimir's was right on his eyelid, and it was deep, and it was, ugh.
Yeah, what's the guy's name? Barboza? Arnold Barboza? Didn't look good.
Yeah.
You talk about gifted a win. Ain't no way he won that fight.
Nah.
Jay right on time with his comment.
Yeah,
that's how it comes too.
he wasn't even celebrating that one.
No.
What's up, Drift?
Drift, what's going on, man? What's good with you? Yeah, that card was. I'm gonna be interested to see the pay per view buys for that. Only
that's the real reason that Haney ain't getting the rematch.
So that's what I was saying. Like the worst is yet to come for Devin Haney.
No.
And normally don't care about the pay-per-view buys, right? You know, it's an interesting thing, but it's not like, oh, we have to know it. But Bill Haney made a big deal about always comparing himself to Tank. The whole reason why he wanted to do this fight was to have a big draw, dominate an opponent that Tank beat, and say, my son is as big, if not a bigger draw, because that was really holding up a fight between him and Tank. Is he know Tank is the A side. He know Tank's gonna have to get the bigger cut of the fight, and he just, you know, they just didn't want to give that up to Tank. There's a little jealousy going on there, I think, and this was a great opportunity to show, hey, I beat this popular fighter like Tank did. This is gonna blow me up. Look, I'm getting the pay per views and all that stuff. Nobody thought that the pay-per-view was going to sell as well as the, you know, Tank and Garcia fight. But I don't know, man. Like, it wasn't good going up to it. There's still a lot of seats, you know, for sale, you know, to the live event, even up ringside. And
yeah, the upper deck lights were turned off.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't a good look. But I don't know. Like, I don't know how many people. I don't think this is going to get a lot of pay-per-view buys, right? Relatively speaking. But I don't know how many people decide to buy pay-per-views after going on Twitter and seeing, oh, Haney's losing, or this person is losing, or this, hey, this is an exciting fight. Oh, okay, let me go and buy it. I'm not sure if that helped.
Yeah, I don't think people really do, because you're still paying full price for, you know, a portion of the main event. I think they just kind of waited out and, yeah, or try to find a link online or whatever.
So, I mean,
the people that do that.
If this flopped and you got whooped, you know, you're back on the grind.
I'll tell you what, Devin, if you're watching, you got one bye right here. Okay. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well, you got two byes.
Yeah. We bought it.
Yeah.
This time.
I mean, this time. You got us this time, guys. So, yeah, what's next for him? He's going to have to try to get that rematch. If he can't get that rematch, what's up, Lil Mikey? What's up? If he can't get that rematch, though, I don't know. What if he can't get the rematch, what should he do, B?
Man, if there's no rematch with Ryan Garcia, I think that the next best thing in terms of, you know, what Omar Tillman was saying and kind of rebuilding his credibility, as it were, would be going after Subriel Matias. But I don't think that would be the best thing for him.
Yeah.
The best thing for him would probably be going after one of the, you know, going after another title.
Going after the Pitbull Cruz.
Or Pitbull or Teofimo, because I don't think Teofimo would be able to replicate what Ryan Garcia did. Either one of them, go out there, get a win, look impressive, get a belt, and just kind of keep it moving.
What do you think, Mikey?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with that. I mean, obviously, the rematch is number one on their list, but you know they let one of the ultimate trolls get in control of that situation. So I don't know the chances of that happening. They don't look that great, but I think they need to sit. They need to decide. Look, man, you know, because this is to me, you know, in the weigh-in, you know, Haney did look drained. Right. And this was why they moved up from 135, because he started to look super drained when he was making weight for that fight. So they need to really sit and decide, man, if he can continue to do this or if he needs to move up. Right. And, you know, go from there. Like we talked about this earlier, Jose, you know, inviting another set of eyes, you know, into the camp to get an eye, see if they can help him with some other things, man. He's going to be at that point in his career, and every fighter has gone through this, where they needed another set of eyes to come in and maybe readjust some things. Do that, decide where you're going to be weight-wise, and then set your game plan there. If you stay at 140, then I would personally like to see him fight somebody like Teal. I think the best thing for him, if he can't get Ryan, is to jump into a fairly solid fight. You know, I think Pitbull would be solid. I think Teal would be something they would probably be able to sell more. But do something like that. If he stays at 140, if he goes to 147, then, you know, try to talk Ryan into saying, look, man, let's be the first fight at 147. You know, let's go make this money. Let's do this. Let's do that. You the A side this time. At that point, we both don't have any belts in that weight class. So you the A side, you the guy. Let's be the first. Let's fight each other in the rematch, and that'd be our first fight at 147.
The problem with that is when the numbers come back and they sold 15,000, Ryan could be like, what money?
So, okay. I think he has a couple paths here outside of Ryan Garcia, right? Fight Teofimo, like, because I think now that you're saying it, Teofimo is probably the best option outside of rematching Ryan, right? Because Teofimo has glaring holes in his game.
Yeah, and he's got a big name.
He's got a big name. He's got a belt, right? And I think Teofimo would be more willing to do that fight, and that's a fight that I think Haney could easily win.
Yeah.
Right. So you embarrass Teofimo. I ain't say embarrass, but you beat Teofimo. You get the belt. Then you can fight Pitbull Cruz, who also has some holes in his game, but also a knockout artist, right? Lots of power, but you go in there and you beat him. Then you fought two guys that have excellent knockout power, and you dominate them. You get some of your rep back, right? So nobody's saying your glass chin, right? You beat two guys with power and took their belts. Now, Subriel Matias.
And by that point, Subriel's old, right. And you can hop in the ring with him.
I still be a little nervous about that. But, yes, you know, you can set up that fight, and that'd be a big fight, and that'd be to unify the belts, right? And you can be undisputed if you can get past it. Matias is hard, though. Matias is tough. But, or you go up to 147. I think Bud is still the champion technically there, but he's going to drop those belts at some point. He's not going back down to 147. I hate that they let him hold these belts for so long. Just drop the belts. You're not going back down. But those belts are going to be vacant. Pick up some of those belts. And you say, hey, Ryan, you looking to be a champion. I got some belts here. You know? And maybe you get something going on there. And hopefully by then, Boots decides to move up too, because I think Boots is going to move up to 154 at some point. But I think those are some good options for him. It's nowhere near over for Devin. He's too young for that, and it's one loss.
Emma, you want to reintroduce yourself?
My name is Devin Haney. And listen, it's been interesting too on social media. There's been some talk of Keith Thurman's been throwing shots too.
Keith Thurman's throwing shots at everybody.
Keith Thurman loves it. He loves throwing shots at people.
So I mean, maybe listen, hey, move up and
but I don't think Devin wants Keith Thurman not in the
ring. I don't think he did. Yeah. I mean,
it's another good option. You know, Bill already vetted this guy. Adrian Broner. Yeah. That would sell. You got to get this might have been a flop. This might have been a flop, but Adrian Broner will run those numbers up. Okay? Yeah. And he will beat the brakes off of Adrian Broner.
Should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, that's
interesting, man. Either way, unless it's like a Teal or something like that, he's gonna face some criticism, whatever his next move is, and he's gotta be able to weather that and move on from that and just do his thing. Like you said earlier, Jose, in no way does this tarnish who he is. He's still a great fighter. You know, he had a bad night. You know. And it just so happened to happen to the guy. And this is what I wanted to point out earlier, too. I think, you know, Ryan is willing to fight these guys. I give him props for that. But I think these guys are also willing to step in with Ryan because they do think he's the weakest link. Yeah. They know he has a name, but they feel like, yo, we can beat this dude sucks. They feel like he sucks. So I think that's why Haney was so in a rush to get that fight with him, too.
Yeah,
because he felt like this was an easy dub for him, and it backfired on him. So, but he got to just keep pushing forward, man. Salute to him. He showed some toughness last night. He got up. I mean, after that one in the seventh, the way he turned over on his side, I thought he was done.
That was bad.
I did not think he was getting up. So he kept getting up off the canvas, you know, with a little bit of help, but. You know, but, you know, salute to Devin, man. I still think he's a game fighter. But he just got to regroup, man, and get with his team and make a few changes, and he'll be fine.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's a setback. It's a major setback, but it's not as major as it could have been. He's still a champion. He still has a lot of other opportunities out there for him. It is what it is, man. He can move on from that. Ryan Garcia, congrats to him. That's a big win for him. That keeps his name in discussion. And I think that's going to be something that's going to be interesting to look at when we do our new pound-for-pound list here, because Ryan Garcia only has one loss, and it's to Tank Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And he beat Devin Haney. He's the first person to beat Devin Haney, who was already on the pound-for-pound list. So he does have that going for him.
He does indeed.
But man, he looked bad doing it. Yeah.
But yeah, but spoiler alert, he will not be on my list.
I don't know, man. I have to look. That's a quality win.
It is.
It's a quality win. I had to look at some things here. Okay, got to look at his whole body of work and decide if could he. He's definitely at least he'll be honorable mention. Okay, he has to be at least that for beating somebody of that caliber.
I can't wait until we do our next list, because finally, after getting floored by Francis Ngannou, maybe people will stop voting for Tyson Fury.
Did he ever make our list?
Yeah, he's made it, I think, both times. But because there's been one or two people who keep putting Tyson Fury on the list. And he sneaks in, even though he don't deserve it.
We got to vet our voters a little bit more carefully.
When is that fight?
Oh, man, it's coming up soon. So we got Canelo and Munguia May 4th, right?
Shout out to Davon.
And then May 6th is Inoue versus Neri. And then May 18th is Fury and Usyk. And then there's a pretty big fight coming up not too long. Bivol and Benavidev, June 1st. So it's going to be a big month, month plus.
Like to see it.
And Ken Moses and Lomachenko was in there too in May. I forget the date, but it's in there. It's going to get in when they fit in.
There's a lot of fights coming up. There's a lot of fights coming up. I know these videos have been kind of spaced out. We're going to do better. We're going to do better. All right. But yes, there's a lot of fights that we can stream about. We can comment about. We got some stuff coming up, man. You know, we've been busy. You know, Mikey's been doing the coaching thing, but it's the off season now. So more content is coming across the board for everything. And we have some projects that we're working on that hopefully they pay off and you can see the fruits of our labor, so to speak. All right. So, yeah, I mean, that's it for this one, man. Tank and Frank Martin is one to watch out for. I can't wait for that one. Yeah, Fury and Usyk. That's another one. I mean, there's a lot of good boxing coming up. So stay tuned. You know, we'll be dropping some videos, a couple of live streams, man. Davon, thanks for coming through, man. Says catch y'all on the replay. Yes. Yes, indeed. If you're new, hit that subscribe button. Also hit that like on this video. Yeah, man, when is Inoue fight? Because, you know, May 6th, like we've been a little absent, okay? You know, the viewership has gone down a little bit. That's our fault. But you know what gets everybody back to Ring Kings? Talking about Inoue. Okay? They may not love us because we don't show proper respect. We don't show enough worship to Inoue. But when we talk about Inoue, ears perk up. The algorithm starts kicking us out there. All right? So we might have to discuss Inoue, man. I don't know what it is about the algorithm Inoue in this channel, but that is a formula for success.
I'm sure that's another Tuesday morning fight.
I think it's Monday morning. Well, maybe it's probably Tuesday over there, but yeah, because the 6th is Monday. So I imagine it's Tuesday morning over there. Or Tuesday evening over there,
So Monday, yeah, it's the 6th. Oh, right.
That's weird. 6 a.m.
6 a.m. Monday morning?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. We probably will not be streaming.
We have.
We have, yeah. Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe. Who knows? Maybe. That is before we have to go to work.
Yeah.
Sometimes. You know. Yeah. All right, but congratulations to Ryan Garcia, man. Devin Haney, keep your head up. Stop talking about Tank Davis. All right. Ryan Garcia, we have to give a lot of credit for making these fights happen, because there's a lot of talking, a lot of posturing going on before this. And it was getting to a point where we were wondering if these guys were ever going to fight each other. And Ryan Garcia, he forced the action. The one that was the least serious, the one that was always flaking out on fights, right? The one we thought was the weakest link, he's the one that's forced the action. So you got to give him credit for that. He's 1-1 against these top guys. So, Haney, it's time. Do you want to be that guy? You got to take a look in the mirror, man, and stop. I hate to use the word cherry picking, but stop cherry picking. And, you know, if you want to fight Tank, you need to just make that happen. If you want to fight Shakur Stevenson, you need to just make that happen. I know you're heavier, it's going to be harder. But if you can work out a catch weight or something like that, that you can get to, do that. If not, don't talk about them anymore and just move on. And same thing for everybody else. Tank, Shakur, you know, all of them, like Teofimo, start making those fights happen. I think Tank is, again, like Frank Martin's name isn't put up there with the rest of them, but he's on that level, you know. But I think that's a good quality fight, and I think you know, tanking Shakur Stevenson, I'm predicting that's gonna be something that's gonna happen pretty soon. So, but all right, fellas, any parting shots before we get out of here?
No, we just gotta endure Ryan Garcia on social media.
Yes, he is setting social media ablaze right now.
As well he should. He earned it.
He did.
He earned it. He earned it.
But all right, that's it. B, are you ready?
Yeah.
He is ready. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us. I mean, we just did a pop-up stream. We didn't announce it, and we still had y'all in the chat rocking with us, man. Davon came in late, but we appreciate you. Coach, D. Weezy, Mr. Galloway, Jay the Six, Omar Tillman, all right, and everybody else that was watching that didn't comment, that's all right. We still love y'all. We still love y'all. We had a decent amount in here. We think we got to like 20 or something people in here. I'll take that. And everybody that was watching on Twitter and anybody that's listening, yes, we still have a podcast, an audio podcast, all right? So if you're still listening, hit the 5-star review and share with your friends. Don't be afraid, okay? We'll get more consistent. You'll have something to listen to. Add us to your playlist, all right? Ring Kings is back. All right, we're out of here. Until next time. Peace.